This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And as you can tell, Chris Arnold is in the house. He's riding shotgun.
Got you down.
Planting that flag for us at the top of the hour. Great story from Radio Row, I got to tell you, by the way, Chris, here in just a second, though. Jeff Cavanaugh, Lucius Alexander, myself, Gavin Dawson, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, let me see if I can get this Radio Row story in here. In a few minutes, but as always, we give you the top sports stories of the day, and the biggest thing going right now is Donnie Nelson explaining his perspective, the organization's mindset into the series of moves, and he was just on with Sean and RJ an hour ago. We'll get that cut up and get you more of Donnie's perspective a little bit later on in the show, but right here, this is from a session that he held, a ganger he held yesterday at the AAC with reporters talking about why now for the Mavericks.
If Luka would have, I think, taken a more traditional trajectory, gone through your typical, you know, rookie season, you may not have seen some of these moves. That was definitely a factor.
Have you been
with this timing? With this timing, I think ultimately. But again, you look at some of the greats. You know, number 41 up there, that locker room. It took him a good year and a half to figure the league out. And I think it's surprised a lot of us seasoned veterans that have done, business on the other side of the pond. That's a very rare thing that we're seeing happen. A 19-year-old young man that's able to compete at this level and do the things that he's doing at his age is, in a lot of ways, unprecedented. And so I think that expedited some of our decision making. It was a factor. For sure.
You probably knew him before he got to the NBA better than anybody. What kind of player you expected him to be? But how surprised are you with what he's done?
I'm surprised. I mean, we all obviously, we paid a lot to trade up two spots. I mean, that's not, future potential, top five protected pick is, that's a haul, right? And so, but again, we felt really, really good, but it's really surprised us how quickly that he has taken without your typical rookie-itis.
Yeah, the typical rookie-itis. I mean, what he is saying to me is that if Luka has a pretty good rookie year, and that would be around 14 points and 5 assists, you might not be sure if he's better than Dennis Smith Jr. You wouldn't want to trade Dennis Smith Jr., and Dennis wouldn't want to be traded because he would have been getting opportunities more to run the team. Let's see what Dennis does. Let's see what Luka does. And they're kind of battling for who's going to be the primary ball handler, and you wouldn't want to let young assets go. But then, oh, what's this? Luka's not only getting better, but as he said with Sean and RJ this morning, he keeps redefining what you think his ceiling might be. And now he's played so well that you're thinking, holy cow, we can open a championship window right now. You know, if we make the right moves in trade and free agency, we can build a contender immediately because Luka's so awesome. That's what I'm hearing, and that's so exciting.
See, I view everything through the team tank lens at this point in my basketball life. So it's like they got Luka, and they're like, all right, we got our first really awesome piece. And then he actually played, and they went, oh, crap. We'll never be able to pick in the top five again.
Exactly.
It's time to build because we can't get back down there because he's too awesome.
You're dead on, because if Luka wasn't this good, you might need to re-tank. You know, you might need to say, oh, wow, you know, Luka's pretty good. Dennis Smith Jr. is pretty good, but we're still looking for the straw that stirs the drink, and who knows what's going to develop in 2020 and 2021. We got to get back high in the lottery after we convey our pick to Atlanta.
Yeah, no one saw this coming. They thought he was going to be very, very good, but just like Donnie said, most rookies, no matter, even LeBron, I mean, it takes them a little while to get used to the league. This guy, remember, Rick first started him off the ball. He wasn't even the primary point guard. Now he is the quarterback. He is the point guard, even though Rick likes to have two playmakers out on the floor at the same time. All I got to say is he's had three triple-doubles and 30-something points. And every time he does something, his name goes into some kind of a record book.
Yeah.
So it's just not just highlights. It's like, you know what? This guy, I'm going to give you the best example. The other night, there was a basketball scout there that I know real well. And he basically described him. He said, Luka is a savant. He said, there's only been a couple of savants out there. He said, when Jason Kidd came into the league, he was a savant. Everybody knew there's something special about this guy. This guy might be a Hall of Famer one day. Well, Luka is a savant because he sees things. The game has slowed down for him where he sees things that everybody else hadn't.
Yeah.
And this guy was saying, that's what the other superstars see, and they want to play with him.
Okay, Mavs fans, so we got you pretty good today. There is a one-on-one exclusive sit-down Kristaps Porzingis had with the local reporter, Tamon Turner. Kristaps was talking just a little bit more about how his rehab is coming along and, you know, what he thinks about doing a long-term deal with the Mavs. It's been a week now since he's been acquired. It's been 4 days since the press conference. And he said if things keep going as they have the last 3 or 4 days, he believes that they're going to, you know, come to terms. It's a little interesting that you wouldn't be more aggressive. A team just gave up so much to get you. Why he won't say for sure, you know, but they weren't on his list of four teams that he initially told the Knicks he wanted to be traded to. So maybe there's still got to be a little bit of convincing, or he's just making sure it's the max that comes in their offer. I don't know if he's waiting for the most possible money, or do you have any insights, Chris, into what else he needs to see to say for sure I'm staying?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a clue. I know a lot of different people, and I was talking to a bunch of different people about his situation. And it's primarily this. He's completely happy here.
Cool.
His brother is also his agent. He's completely happy with this entire situation.
Seems like he and Luka love each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to give his backstory real quick here. But one thing about it is that I think they're lowering the expectation level for fans.
Okay.
It's like, okay, just let us do a toe first, then an ankle, and then just go ahead and start swimming. His rehab has been like this. This is what's been kind of interesting. And it shows you that he's actually closer to Luka than a lot of people know. They're better friends than you think.
Okay.
When he got injured, see, everybody knows that he's from Latvia, right? Uh-huh. When he got injured last year, or tore up his knee, the ACL, and it was February the 6th. February 13th, he has the surgery. He tells the Knicks he's going to Latvia to rehab. Well, he doesn't live in Latvia. He's not going to stay in America to rehab. He lives in Spain.
Okay.
He was rehabbing with Real Madrid.
All right.
Who was playing for Real Madrid the last few years?
Luka.
Now, I'm not saying that they both knew they were going to wind up on the same team together. That was never the case. But the Knicks were actually, wow, they thought he was in Latvia. But he was rehabbing with Real Madrid. And as the way they've got this schedule for him to be on to basically build up his body, it's not just the knee. It's about he's trying to not reinvent his body, but make himself big. Remember how Dennis Smith Jr. came back from the summer and he was more buffed and all?
Yeah.
These players
build
are always
a good foundation.
Yes. And Luka, right now, Luka needs to lose some weight, right?
Uh-huh.
Luka needs to get his diet together. He needs to do the soda. Whatever it is, he needs to do. So they've had a plan for Chris to do his stuff, and it was for a full calendar year. That's what they told the Knicks. And part of it is rehabbing with Real Madrid. In fact, this offseason, when the Mavericks season, though, chances are he's going to be back in Spain rehabbing with Real Madrid. By the way, Luka, people, they think they're European. They speak their own country. They speak Spanish better than they speak English, both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they hang up with JJ and stuff.
Professional ball in Spain.
Yeah, they really became really good friends last offseason. He was there for all of that stuff. And the Knicks were like, what are you doing over there? You're supposed to be in Latvia.
Yeah, Spain is a beautiful place, and they have resources for basketball players trying to rehabilitate and everything. The Pelicans decided they're going to play Anthony Davis for the rest of the season. That's one of the other big stories in the association. I can't believe it was even a possibility, Jeff.
Couldn't either until I actually thought about it.
Okay, help me out here.
So at first I saw on the internet machine where people were like, the Pelicans have announced they're going to let Anthony Davis play. And I was like, what? What?
Yeah.
Like, you mean the team and their best player? Like, they're going to allow him to play basketball in their lineup? Well, gee, that's sweet.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, if it's established from both parties' perspective that, yeah, you're being moved this offseason, I guess it would make sense to say, hey, unless something catastrophic happens, which is bad for both of us.
Yeah.
So I would get it if he wanted to and you wanted to, where you were like, yeah, okay.
I totally get that line of thinking. It's becoming more and more a factor in how a lot everybody's making their decisions.
But I am paying you, so I'd like to go try to win.
Well, here's my thing. as a fan, this is my guy. There's 30 more games with him. I might have season tickets. I paid to see this guy. And it's just so against the idea of professional sports and putting on a show, and we have an obligation to get out here and perform what we're paid to do and what our fans pay to see, what our cable partners give us billions of dollars for every decade so we can broadcast our players. I think the leagues need to make it against the rules. If you are sitting out to protect your value or your assets value as an organization, you're losing picks. And as a player, you're suspended for a year.
Yes,
you
know,
or you just don't get paid.
If you're
not
playing,
absolutely
you don't get paid.
Yes. But yeah. I think they got to make it so punitive, because I understand that teams are putting championship first and the players are putting their destination first, and I get it. They have a right to do that. I don't think they have a right to steal from fans that have bought the tickets.
I totally agree with you. It's so funny. This conversation was had by Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith last night in their pregame show. And they were talking about some things that need to be brought up, which includes he has a history of injury. And so they're hoping, you know, you don't want that asset to get hurt because you can't get the value from the other team. And the other team is hoping he doesn't get hurt. So they say, okay, is he going to play careful? And then Kenny Smith brought up an excellent point. He said, usually if you're playing careful, that's when you get hurt. And it's not from the game itself. Oh, you're playing your damnedest in the game, he said, but you won't come in early like you normally do, or you won't stay around later for your rehab like you normally do. And because you don't do those little things to prepare for the game for yourself, that's when you get hurt.
Well, hey.
So it's going to be interesting, a roll of the dice.
I think you can consider all that stuff after the games are played by the people that are supposed to be playing them.
It's a great point, because I never thought about it from a what if it was your team perspective, where I'd lose my mind. Like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to make a sign and go stand outside the arena. Because, I don't know, I guess I think about it. I view sports way too often from a team-building perspective. And if he were my player and it's like, okay, he doesn't want to be here. We are a couple months away from the Lakers and Celtics going nuts bidding against each other. And the only thing that stops that bidding war is if something happens on the court.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it.
Yeah.
If there's no rule against it and it's my team and my asset on my basketball team, I'd be like, okay.
I like your solution. Find the team and dock the pay of the player if he goes there and they go there.
Yeah.
Something.
I find it so fascinating that the teams are really having their cake and eating it too on this one. They're telling us when we want them to tank, you can't tank. This is sports. And then when they want to protect an asset, they're like, we can't play this guy. He might get hurt. It's like, oh, come on, guys.
Come on, man.
It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Bob Stoops is coming up at 11 a.m. with us.
He's the new
coach and GM of the XFL
team.
We
got Mac. We got to bring out Mac.
Jerry. You trying to balance
Mac,
it off.
Mac Angle is not afraid to ask any questions. So yesterday they have the press conference. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. And Mac Angle has been reading online this conspiracy theory from Sooners fans that OU really wanted him out. They were trying to push him out, and just for PR purposes, they had the health situation be the primary narrative for why he left. So Mac was like, hell, I don't care. I'll go ahead and ask him about this. Because Bob's never been asked about this conspiracy theory here. And here we go. Mac went for it.
Bob, can you address all the speculations that when you left, because you left in June, there's a million conspiracies out there. Well, he left in June. That sure is weird.
You were waiting for the other shoe to drop, weren't you?
Kind of, yeah.
Well,
that's just it. Can you address this normally?
And you found out that it was actually a really good time, wasn't it?
I don't know. That's up to you.
How have you done since?
Great. How have you done since? Absolutely not. No, but it was this idea that in this conspiracy that Oklahoma wanted Bob to step aside and retire and let him.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that at all?
I don't even need to answer that.
That's a no. Thank you.
Jerry!
That's a no then.
Jerry!
Jerry Springer.
Yeah, that was terrific audio there by by Mac Engel, who
we need to
I don't know.
Mac don't care.
We need to sit Mac down with LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
That'd be an excellent interview.
That's what I think we need to see.
Yeah, I'm totally in on that. So it's my last day on Radio Row. Jaws is behind me. Ron Jaworski, he's sitting down with, I don't know where the station is from, but there's a morning drive station. I'm waiting to go on with Sean and RJ. It's about 45 minutes or so before our show starts, so I'm kind of killing time and prepping for the show. And Jaws sits down and goes, here, another year. And the host goes, yep. Ooh-wee. And Jaws goes, man, I miss hearing that. And the host goes, me too, man, every hour. It was great. Man. Yeah, it was cool. So I turned around and I'm like, yeah, dude. I gave him a big thumbs up. And, you know, so then we talked a little bit. But then I texted Chris. I was like, dude, it just made my day, man. We got to get the ooh-wee back pumping on Radio Row.
Oh, man, those Radio Row days. I bet Jim, what's his name, Jim?
Jim Rome. You had Jim Rome burning.
Yes. Yeah. I loved irritating Jim Rome.
Yeah, that was classic.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Made my day, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.